Blog Talk Radio. There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
In a little tent, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. But I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. So now I go to my and I say, brother, help me see. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there were times I thought I wouldn't last. I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gonna come. I said I know.
I want to say this right now at the beginning of this show. sometimes when we're not on the air live, it is because every time we set up a live show, for some reason it gets erased or it doesn't go through, and it forces our hand to try to set up a replay, and sometimes the replays come through, and so we are able to put up a replay at times. But I just want to tell you right now and right here, for those of you who may not be aware of the show, we go through so many things to get this show on the air. Again, I've gone through all of the introductions. I've gone through all of the regular stuff that we do on the show, and still, they blocked my mic, and I just realized that they had blocked my mic, had muted me again. So, look to be disconnected this show a few times. Look to be knocked off the air a few times. Look for me to be knocked off the air a few times. But you stay and you wait patiently and you call back in patiently and you get back in and you hear this show. This is the price of truth. So, today's subject is titled Crash and Burn Economics. It's about time. It's about to come full circle. Excuse me. Now, before we go into that, I want to say something because I just want to show you why God needs to come and why God is here. And why God is doing what he's doing to remove all of these leaders, to remove all of this hypocrisy, to push us toward and kick us towards a more equitable and better world, and to remove this old world. Now, do you recall when they made up the Western media and the Western leaders and the Western governments? When they made up all of these lies on our good brother Muammar Gaddafi. And they demonized him, vilified him in the media and all this stuff. And the reason I want to tell you this is because I've been watching something in the news lately, and then it really pushed me over this morning as the story continued. Now, in the great African nation of Gambia, there was an election where the president, who was against homosexuality, who was against Western domination, lost the election, and he conceded the election. And then he realized that there was a lot of discrepancies in the vote, and that there was a lot, and at this time, realized this too, this is missed out in the media. And I'm not taking either side in this, but I just want you to see the madness in what's going on here. So with all of the discrepancies and all of the people that was blocked from voting, you had the Western NGOs and non-government offices, which are actually funded by the U.S. government and NATO to exact regime change or color revolutions in all of these countries, especially if these countries are bucking up against Western values and Western policies and the Western role to dominate and to steal and occupy. Well, no one, all of these nations got quiet. I recall South Africa made a peep when the Western governments was trying to overthrow Gaddafi. They didn't stand up. The African Union was quiet. And the only person that really stood up in defense of Muammar Gaddafi was the good brother, President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe. Now, what's significant about this? And then we'll go into this crash and burn economics, because a lot of this has to do with that. So today, it is being reported that the African Union now may intervene militarily in the West African nation of Gambia. Why didn't they intervene militarily when it was more of their national security concerns, when America and Europe, under the auspices of NATO, went in and bombed? They knew that they were lying on their brother Gaddafi. They were lying on Libya. Yet they said not even a peep about this, nor did they militarily intervene or tell the West that they were going to militarily intervene on the side of our good brother Muammar Gaddafi and the Libyans over in Libya. They said not a word. And even Gaddafi was funding the African Union. And he was funding all types of projects across Africa, but they said not a peep when they knew that Gaddafi was under a media onslaught. Why? The reason why they have not said nothing about Gaddafi and his aide, but they're saying something about Gambia, is because, again, the Western funding these corrupt governments and these corrupt shields of so-called politicians, and they are trying to break up the unity of Africa, to prevent the rise of Africa towards its independence and the doing for self, and they are being funded by France, Brussels, London, and the U.S., and even to Tel Aviv. As a matter of fact, this goes to the heart of what I'm saying in crash and burn economics. I was not going to talk about this, but since it has been in the media, no one is talking about these things. I have to bring this up because this goes to the heart of what Muhammad said about Africa is trying to free herself of this same oppressive beast. But Muhammad says this. I know it may look bad right now. Muhammad said, but she will do so, and soon. So we're looking at America and NATO, so-called Europe, in a desperate plea or ploy to use black nations against black nations to try to conquer or reoccupy these nations, but they'll do it under the face of a black person. Isn't that what America did with Obama? They knew, the deep state knew how it would look and how the world would take it if George Bush would have intervened militarily in Libya. He knew what it would look like if a white president, they knew if a white president intervened militarily and destroyed the most prosperous nation in the Mediterranean, even more prosperous than the European nations, was Libya. They knew that this would cause an uprising, an uproar in the aboriginal people around the globe. So they were smart. This is part of that crash and burn economics. So to reoccupy Libya, to balkanize Libya, to make the North African states fear bucking up against the West, they used a black face to project white power, black independence, because Libya was a symbol of black independence and black doing for self and black unity. And America used everything and imported all of those so-called Arabs, those racist Arabs there, who were putting black people in zoos, and Obama said not even a word. But now they're screaming about Gambia, the so-called African Union, and had not said one word about Libya. This shows you that they're in the pockets of these Western nations. As a matter of fact, as I was saying to you, and this is true, I was reading a report on Sudan. You know, Bashar, the President Bashar, the black guy, who prefers to look at himself as an Arab than he does an African, which is madness. Well, you are African and you are Arab at the same time because you are the original Arab. But at the same time, he does not really look at himself in the light of being like you and I. But they were saying in a report that because he has tilted more to the West because of the pressure of the sanctions. See, this is the crash and burn economics. See, this is, if America can't force you by threatening you to submit to them, they'll bomb you. That's what they had Israel do in Sudan. That didn't work. So then they balkanized his nation. That didn't work. So they kept cranking and cranking and cranking the sanctions, and then they put him under a warrant for the UN Criminal Court, which is run by Caucasians and made by Caucasians to indict black, brown, red, and yellow who buck up against the system, the so-called world order that you hear these generals keep talking about. And so because of all of this intense pressure, they're saying now, and this is coming from Western circles, that Bashar, not the president of Syria, but the president of Sudan, a North African nation, has acquiesced to the pressures of the West and is now tilting Sudan towards the Western-led area, Western-led policies and Western-led thought, which is madness, isn't it, brothers and sisters? I want you to look at this in the right manner. I want you to look at this the way it's supposed to be looked at. I want you to understand that the time is coming now that the white man is desperate and he's using every trick in his bag to try to break black sometimes I like to put them in the studio with me because I want them to hear this stuff firsthand so that they can see the opposition that the show is up against. And they're going to make a little noise in the background, but you got to, you know, the white man, when he runs his stores, when he runs his businesses, he gets his children from birth, and he sits them up in there, and he teaches them, and they make noise, they disrupt stuff, and they do all kinds of, but over the years, they wind up taking over the stores, even without the education that someone would have to run their businesses, and stuff, because this is what is bred into them. We've got to start doing a lot of that ourselves, too, black men and black women. But again, the white man, if he cannot get you to acquiesce, to bow to his dictates, he'll do things like what I've just said to you. This is his M.O. And all while at home, his people are suffering. Our people are suffering. But this has to happen like this. This is how God makes manifest the fall of America. This is how God convinces the people of the change that is needed to take place to separate the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, the elect and the doomed. Crash and burn economics. It's about to come full circle. You can believe that. And because of her arrogance, think about this. She can fund all of these covert operations in Africa. And as a matter of fact, let me say this to you also, which I should have mentioned a few shows ago. Since the fall of Libya, since the fall of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, America and NATO, and this has gone under the radar, have been flooding Africa with troops, weapons, radars, warplanes, warships, attack copters, gunships, all over the northern coast of Africa and all throughout North Africa and Central Africa. They are trying to suppress the rise of Africa. Messenger Elijah Muhammad said these things would take place. But this would be all for naught. They don't realize, see, America thinks she's won, because she uprooted Gaddafi, the pillar of African independence at the time. This is not the case. You make a plan, and Allah makes a plan. And surely Allah is the best of planners. And he has planned for America to stretch her empire out. There's an old saying in military circles that he who is everywhere defending every point leaves himself exposed at home. And we see this because it takes more and more money to deploy. It takes, when she deployed them 3,000 or 4,000 soldiers to Russia's border, it didn't take $3,000 or $4,000. It takes, for each soldier, it takes millions of dollars for that one soldier to deploy. Now, you do that math, about 3,000 or 5,000 soldiers to Finland, 3,000 to Poland, 3,000 to Lithuania, and then you do the math with it, the gas, the logistics, how much it's going to cost just for the shipping of tanks and MRAPs and all of these things. It takes tens of billions of dollars for each deployment. It takes tens of billions of dollars for each war game. Every time America becomes more provocative, her treasuries become more empty. Every time she flexes her military muscles, her economic cancer is exposed to view. At home, she's falling. Her citizens are collapsing, and she can do nothing about this. I want you to listen to what they're saying right here about the situation in the colleges with America. Just pay close attention. This is about 2 minutes, brothers and sisters. Pay close attention to this.
Without money from the federal government, a lot of colleges and universities in the U.S. would simply not exist. Even if the schools acknowledge that, they're still not following all of the rules, according to government officials. And that could mean that they lose all federal funding. In a statement released on Monday, the Department of Education said, while many post-secondary programs offer value to students, there are a significant number of career training programs, specifically for-profit programs, that do not provide their graduates with a reasonable return on investment. Basically, what the department is saying is that too many students are being duped into thinking they'll have a career upon graduation. Instead, they complete the programs saddled in debt with few options to pay it back. And that's because the schools are not telling the truth when it comes to employment prospects. In order to receive federal funding, the government requires that the programs prepare students for, quote, gainful employment in a recognized occupation. The programs pass the test if the graduates' loan payments do not exceed 20% of their discretionary income or 8% of their total earnings. If their loan repayments do exceed that, the programs are considered failures and become at risk of losing taxpayer funding. And at the moment, over 800 of them are considered failures. Graduates are using closer to 30% of discretionary income and more than 12% of total earnings to pay back their loans. And a whopping 98% of these programs are run by for-profit schools. So the silver lining for private schools is that their special programs are getting by just fine for now. But we also don't have any reason to believe that the ones that pass the test actually offer solid job prospects for graduates either.
So the college system is a scheme on the black man and black woman today. They're scheming you. Now, think about this. You get no debt relief. There's two things that you don't get no debt relief for in America, especially, and this is pretty much aimed at the black America, but the white man is so wicked that he would use this even to hurt himself a little bit to get at you a lot. Two things that they don't wipe away. I don't care if you file bankruptcy or whatever. These two debts do not go away. Child support debt and college debt. You have to pay that, or they will put liens on you, and they will take your money. They don't care what kind of condition you are in. They don't care what is going on in your life. They don't care what kind of bills you have to pay. They will put a lien on you, and they will take that, or they will put you in jail. In their own constitution, you're not supposed to go to jail for debts. Their own constitution. And that lets you know just how much they honor their constitution. They only honor it when it's relevant to them. You understand? So if we look at the situation that is pervasive in America, the debt bomb, the debt burden, then you ask yourself, why is she doing these things overseas when she can bring the money home to America? She can't bring the money home. She has no money. Why is she doing all of these things? It's an illusion. As a matter of fact, so I was listening to an interview the other day, and it reminded me of Gregory Mannarino. It reminded me of, Peter Schiff. And it reminded me of Mr. Boom, Doom, and Gloom, Mark Faber, and Gerald Celente. All of them said this, the same thing that was mentioned in this interview the other day, that what you see with America and her economic might, her military might, and her political show internationally, it is an illusion. And this illusion will soon be exposed, and it will come to an abrupt end. I said, wow, this white man is telling the truth, but we don't have time. See, he'll drop some truth in the midst of all of his lies. He'll drop some truth because so he can say, I tried to tell them. In the midst of all my lies, I tried to tell them, but they only accepted the lie part of what I was saying because that's what they love to hear. So they can't blame me. They can only blame themselves. What the Quran says, blame me not, blame yourselves, for I only call you. You came. I had no authority whatsoever over you. I promised you and failed, and Allah promised you the promise of truth. So the white man sees his world crash, and this is why you see all of this stuff going on. They were shaking their heads in this interview, and they were saying, well, why is America, she says, under Trump, good Russia, bad China, and she's trying to split the two into two different circles. One of the main things, what is going on here, is the divide and conquer tactic. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that in the end of American power, she would ramp this thing up because she's desperate. And see, she tries to appeal to Russia a little bit to pull her out of the orb of China so that she can make war on both of them before they're able to make war with her, so that she can maintain her dominance and beat prophecy. But this is all to a bad end for America, because she will not be able to beat prophecy. The prophets had predicted these things, and we're looking at everything that they spoke about one by one come tumbling down on America and the white world. The desperation is real, black man. You just don't know. America is dying. Her economy is dying. And all of the tactics and all of the lies, all of the deception that she has used and is using to maintain her sway, to maintain her hold, to maintain her grip on power is no longer enough to keep her in the position that she once was. As she tries to flex her muscle, you know that was once a time militarily where if a they make war with a nation, they would buck up and punk up. They would punk out, right? No, but even the little nations are now trying to arm themselves to take on America. Even the little nations are trying to prepare themselves economically because they've gotten a look at the great whore, and they too are now awakening to prophecy. They too are now awakening to the time, and they see America desperate, and they see her on her heels because they know that God had promised to do all that we see that is being done. So they're, what they're doing, they're making mathematical calculations, mathematical moves. Well, if the prophecy says this and we see this happening, then what should we expect next? Okay, they say this would happen next. So now let us make preparations for that. You are the only ones who are not processing this. You are the only ones who are not mastering space and time. You are the only ones who are not calculating from one space to a next space in prophecy and in time, black man and woman. This is the time of truth, the time and the day of decision. We are living in the crash and burn economics that is about to come full circle. I want you to listen to this 3-minute clip about how dire the situation is economically at home. America's suffering. She's in trouble, and she's not letting you know that she's still talking about a recovery, an economic recovery, all while her retail industry is dying and collapsing. Pay close attention.
Down. Let's get into the economic collapse financial news. Now, we've been talking about retail throughout many of the reports, and what we're seeing is retail is slowly dying. And I'm not just talking about the brick and mortar. I'm talking about the entire retail industry, online and brick and mortar together. Now, a lot of people say, no, what's happening is people aren't shopping in the malls. They're going to online. Well, that isn't the case. What we're really seeing right now is a redistribution of retail sales. So those individuals that used to shop in department stores and go to the mall, they used to stop shopping at Walmart, they decided, you know what, I don't want to go to any of these areas, I don't want to drive around, instead I will take my shopping to online. Am I going to spend more money online? No. I'm going to look for the best deal online and try to spend less. This is what we've been seeing. Now, department stores, where they were once the king of retail, we are seeing that they are slowly dying. They are not doing well, and sales have been declining since 2001. And it wasn't entirely due to online shopping. There are many other factors at work here. And what we've been seeing is that sales in department stores, sales in the brick and mortar stores, well, they're all dying. And then we look at online sales. And what we're seeing here is that online sales, yes, they are receiving more sales, but people are just moving to a different location of where they're doing their retail purchases. It's not that they're shopping in brick and mortar and also shopping online and spending a lot more money. They're just saying, I'm going to spend less here and just move it over to retail and look for better deals. And I don't want to spend a lot more money. Those individuals who don't have jobs, well, guess what? They're not spending more at all. And when we look at general merchandise stores and online sales, we see that it has been declining. It has been declining since 2011. And it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. So when we look at this, and we see the combined sales of bricks and clicks, we see there was an average of about 8.5% back in 2006. As of December 2016, it was less than half of that growth rate, 4.2%, with sales in December below that average. So consumers are not rushing to online to spend more money. What they're doing is they're moving away from brick and mortar and spending less online, and they're not shopping in brick and mortar as much. we're not seeing a huge surge of online sales where people are spending more. This is why when you combine the two, we see that sales in retail has been declining.
Black man and black woman, here we go again. Here we go again. They're muting my mic every time I turn it. The mic is being muted. This is crazy, man. This is madness. Blog Talk Radio, give us a break today, okay? And maybe Allah will have mercy on you. I'm just talking, giving you truth. Comes up every time I turn around, boom, I look up, the mute is on. This is crazy. But anyway, well, they're crazy as hell today anyhow, because God is after them. They're mad because this show is the only show out there that's going to give you the truth, the raw truth as presented and delivered to us by God's last messenger, without addition and without subtraction. So, again, let me say something to you all. For those of you who may not have the basics of economics or the basics of geopolitics or the basics of prophecy, because this thing has everything to do, all that you're hearing has everything to do with prophecy. All that you're hearing has everything to do with black liberation. All that you're hearing has everything to do with the change of worlds. Think about this. For so long, America has been able to, as I've said on many shows before, export inflation because she enjoyed the status as the world global currency or the world's currency, reserve currency. She was able to print up dollars infinitum and pass them out without feeling the effects of hyperinflation. And the whole world was exported inflation. America said, we exported all kinds of goods. Yeah, but one of the main instruments of, or products that you exported outside of capitalism and murder was inflation. Inflation. But soon, black man and black woman, soon because of the dire situation of her fiscal policy, her monetary policy, her debt situation, this stuff will come back home, especially when China gets fed up. Because I was listening to another thing about China. Some of the pundits who are always trying to make you think that China is in this economic conundrum and that America holds all the power. So if China dares dump her debt, America can put a hold on her debt, and then we can make her hurt. If you put a hold on her debt, guess what that is? That is a internationally recognized debt default, which means that even if you didn't give China her money, the other nations watching would run for the hills and exit the dollar quickly, which will cause a economic meltdown regardless to whom or what. Well, China's debt is so high. Her market, her second market is, you know, they call it the black market. Her black market economy is this, and it is about to burst and about to explode. Again, there's a difference in all of this. When you look at China, when you look at Japan, yeah, Japan has a high debt to GDP ratio. China has high debt, but there's a good article. So I got to find this article. There's a good article by One Devil that goes into the situation, and he exposes all of the lies that they're saying about China's economy and how they continue to get you to believe that China is about to implode. Again, I've explained it many times on the show, but anyway, China's debt is held by Chinese. Japanese debt is held by, for the most part, Japanese. And China holds a large portion of Japanese debt also. America's debt, the majority of it is held by foreign nations. It's a difference. If I'm a citizen of the Nation of Islam, if I'm a citizen of the black nation, the Asiatic black nation, and my nation was in trouble, surely I would not call that debt to make my nation fall down. But if I'm a brutal, arrogant, imperial power, and I am going around the world bombing and warring and sanctioning all of these nations, surely they have grievances with you, right? And when one drops the debt, the next drops the debt. The next drops the debt. All of these nations that are holding it will drop dollar-denominated assets, which will cause a spike of inflation in America, which will cause an economic meltdown, which will lead to the liberation of black America. Because without finance, the police has no recourse. They have no methods of keeping you you subjected as a people. They'll be too busy trying to feed their own families, trying to protect their own families. The crash and burn economics is about to come full circle. This is what Messenger Muhammad was talking about when he says that Allah would give America problems left and right, abroad and within her. The insurrection that would mount, the dissatisfaction that would explode, the civil insurrection and strife that would spread across America to free you. All that you see going on in America and out of America is being done for you. This is hard to get over to you because you're so narrow-minded, because you don't understand that one drop in the bucket sends waves throughout the bucket. It just doesn't sit still. It sends waves throughout that water that's held in that bucket. And every inch of that water in that bucket gets affected by it. This is what's going on in the context of the military excursions by America around the world. This is what's going on with her fiscal policy, how she's sanctioned and continues to sanction everyone to try to force them to bow to her will. And she, while she's doing this, she's alienating more nations. And these nations are looking for an alternative. And guess where the alternative is? In the East, because the West is bankrupt. And Muhammad says that your brothers in the East will come for you. Well, if they don't have the economic capacity to, if they don't have the military capacity to, how the hell are they going to come for you? We've got to look at these things in the true light of what is being said and taught to us. Because all of these things are interconnected. I want you to listen closely to this. As they're talking about, this is only 1 minute, and I think 3 or 4 seconds. This is about, we've just looked at and listened to U.S. retail and how it is in a terrible, terrible, terrible state, right? Now, let us look at another problem that America's facing. Her real estate so-called economy. And I'm a real estate agent by trade, so I know when the real estate market collapsed in 2000 and something, how devastating it was for jobs, how devastating it was for the entire community and the city, because you lose jobs. You don't have construction. If nothing is selling, how are you going to employ people to build more houses? They're not going to be ordering more supplies to build more houses. They're not going to use a lot of gas. They're not going to do this to go back and forth. They're not going to rent trucks to haul this stuff. All of this stuff is connected. And so we're looking at another crash in the real estate market. It's collapsing right now. Pay close attention to this
minute. Declining. When we look at real estate, we see that things are starting to deteriorate very, very quickly. There was a report that was released, the Element Fourth Quarter 2016 report, and it looks like in New York and Manhattan, real estate sales, well, it looks like they're dropping. The prices are dropping. They're down by 8.7%. We see that sales are down. And we also see listing days, well, they're moving up. They're up 14%. And these individuals who are trying to get rid of their very expensive luxury apartments, luxury homes, well, they're discounting those real estate properties by 5.5%. And what that means is that this bubble is popping right now, and we're starting to see it. Actually, I'm seeing more and more homes on for sale, and they're staying on the market longer and longer. They're not moving.
The coming of Allah in search for the black lost members of their nation today is to make himself known. Stop right there. I have to read that because a lot of us, we don't understand this. And it's simple, I guess, because Allah imparts upon wisdom whom he pleases to whom he pleases, okay? The reason that Allah is doing this, some of us, we get impatient with God. The reason that these things must take place and the reason that he's doing this according to Scripture is that he wants to make himself known and manifested by degrees. That it is he who is now present, that it is he who is now on the scene, that it is now he who has power to force this beast that no other power could force to his knees. And in the midst all of this fussing, you would be in the midst, and he's going to show the world that he's going to protect you in the midst of all of these things, according to the Bible. And according, the Holy Quran bears that witness. So Muhammad says this: the coming of Allah in search for the black lost members of their nation today is to make himself known, so he can conquer our captives by using weapons against which they have no power. He, Allah, will bring attacks of divine judgment of their world without the use of contrived weapons. Now look at this. We see the craziness, the insanity of the financial markets. We see the craziness, the insanity of the real estate market. And then when we look around again, we see storms here and storms there. And these storms are taking great tolls and effect on the minds and the hearts of the people. As people die, as people are suffering, as there's more destruction to homes and neighborhoods and to rail lines and air traffic and all of these things, all of this takes billions of dollars to fix. And it's not just hitting one city. When you see one city inundated with rain, you look at another one that's inundated by snow. You see something that has erupted with a volcano in Alaska. You see other cities and states are hit by earthquakes. These are the plagues that Allah is using, because we have reached the day of battle and war. And America, this puts a burden on America to try to soothe the minds of the people, to try to put on a confident facade, to try to find more money, to rebuild what has been destroyed. And each time it becomes destroyed, it costs more money because the money loses its value. So you have to have more of that to buy less of what you bought before. All of these things are bringing America to her knees by degrees from which you cannot perceive. But it is all being done in the light of God. You know, the white man, he gives Trump the benefit of the doubt. They kill me with this. They think Trump is their savior. Every time I think about that, I just laugh. See, they're hurting so bad. But they have the person to throw the dart at on the wall, and it's Obama. But Obama and every one of them admit that he was just a puppet. Yet, they blame him for everything, right? It's amazing. I want you to look at this. We know that he's a puppet. We know that he steps to the tune of someone else, right? They know this. As a matter of fact, they've exposed it several times, even on documentaries. But because he's black, they have to let go of their anger against him, because that is their nature. But they didn't let go of their anger when Bush was burning through America's currency reserves, did it? They didn't let go of their anger when Bush allowed, after Katrina, all of those people to die and suffer. They didn't let go of their anger with all of these things. I'm not defending Obama. No, hell no. Because I cannot respect a person who has given himself over to the devil at the expense and cost of an entire people. I can't respect a man or a woman like that. I think they should get all the hell that they deserve. To sell your soul, he could have been like Jesus and said, when they offered him that position, kiss my behind. What did Jesus tell him? Get thee behind me. Then he tell him, when they took him up on the mountain represents the governments, the positions and the powers of this world. When Satan took him up on top of the world and offered him everything that his eyes could see, he told Satan to kiss his behind. Get thee behind me, Satan. But Obama was taken up there, and he saw the cheers and the adulation and the applause and the claps for being the so-called first black president, and he accepted that position. But the consequences was the deception of black America, who needs to be freed at any and all costs, mentally, spiritually, economically, and culturally. So I cannot look at him with admiration. I can't look at him with hope. I can't look at him with faith. The only faith that I see when I look at him is the faith that God would bring him to his knees for selling out an entire people to put a couple worthless dollars in your pocket and to have a position with your master. Crash and burn economics is about to come full circle. They see this, and so they blame food stamps, even though, as I said, he has little power. But the little power that he did, he didn't try to do nothing for you. What has he done for black America? What have they, any of them, have done for black America in the cause of your liberation, your freedom, your separation, your independence? Nothing. All of them have done something to hinder you from going to self, but this is for going for self, excuse me. But this was all predicted by the prophets. This was told to us that these events would take place to keep you from going to yourself. And it would take the hand of Almighty God, Allah, to force this beast, this devil, to his knees. Brothers and sisters, please, go to the Bible and read the books of Moses, the so-called books of Moses. And in there, Moses kept saying, God, you keep sending me to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh is not paying attention. You keep saying that we need to be free and we need to do this. And God said, I got this. You just go and relay what I said. I'm going to force him to let you go, but not yet. I'm going to beat him and chastise him and bring him to his knees. So America is not yet on her knees. So the liberation cannot come at this moment. Because if we have the history of Pharaoh in ancient Egypt and the so-called Israelites under Moses, we have our own history, because most of those things that were talked about in the Bible never happened under Moses. These were for a modern-day Moses to take, for this stuff to take place. These were under modern-day Pharaoh, who had no military or economic rival at the time. So what we're looking at in the Bible, Moses kept going back to him and saying, God say this, and every time God would let one of the plagues loose on him, Pharaoh would bow down a little bit. You would think he was going to be forgiven. You would think he was going to say, you know what, I've had enough. But as soon as God let the, Moses went back and said, God, okay, Pharaoh say, please get this off him. He'll do this and he'll do that. But he's not going to let us go, but he'll treat us better. And then at the end, God told Moses to go down and listen. He's not going to listen to you, but this time, after I'm done with him on this one, he's going to let you go, because I'm going to bring him to his knees. And then when he lets you go, I'm going to fill his heart up in such a way that he's going to follow you to his own doom and destruction. We must calculate. We must look at these things that are said by the prophets. And if they had not come true back then they are for right here and right now. And then we must do a mathematical calculation that we may understand and represent time in its true manner, so that we be prepared for the next movement of the hands of faith as prophecy is fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want you to listen to this. This is about 5 minutes. Oh, man, this thing is almost over. Brothers and sisters, if you will, would you please give me a little bit more time if need be? Don't answer your phones. Don't go to the URLs. We may take it a little bit over time, okay? Especially during seeing that they've been bothering the show and things like this. But please be patient with your brother, all right? I love you more than life. I want you to listen closely to this. And you know they're going to bring up Obama, but at the same time, we know that this was in the system. I want you to, but Dave makes some good points about, after he talks about the rise in food stamps, he makes a good point about they never want to address the heart of the problem. And this is what the show talks about, our show talk about. No one wants to go to the heart of the matter. Everybody is surface teaching. Everybody is skating on thin ice. They don't want to go into depth on things. And the only way we can do to cause a healing to take place is we've got to diagnose the problems so that we can understand what it takes to cure the illness so that we can return to a better life mentally and spiritually. You understand? I want you to pay close attention to the fall of America as the rise in food stamps skyrocket, but his numbers are off, brothers and sisters. I've looked at, he said it goes from 20-some to up to 46 million, but that was the last time they calculated. And then when I looked at another, they said food stamp use was over, 50-something million, something like that. So they may be off a little bit in the numbers, but still, the rise is real. That means that we're looking at a modern-day depression. Think about this. When you looked at 1929, there were food lines all for blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. Some people stood there all day just to get something to eat, right? Think about how long the food lines would be for 56 million people. And then when you look at the 56 million people that get food stamps, then you say a family of four, and you multiply that. You're up to 200 and some million people now, right? The lines would, you would have to be there for weeks to get food. They mask the fall. They are deceitful in everything that they do. But the lines of today would make those look like child's play back then. This is how Allah is bringing them to their knees, because soon they will not be able to hide the depths of the collapse, the rot, the stench of the corpse that is called America. Pay close attention to this. 5 minutes.
And they're staying on the market longer and longer. They're not moving. Now, Obama decided to do one more thing. Each time it seems like he's doing one more thing before he leaves office. Well, he's done one more thing in regards to food stamps. Now, we do have to remember, since 2008, when we were in the Great Recession, and this is 2017 now, food stamps back then was around 25 million people back in 2008. Now, we've been through this incredible recovery where everyone is doing better, everyone's doing well, unemployment is down to 4.7%. And what we're seeing here is that those individuals on food stamps shot up to 43.22 million. So, is this really a recovery? All we're seeing right now is more people on food stamps. Almost double. So what Obama decided to do, he decided that he will allow food stamp recipients to take their taxpayer-funded benefit and order online from retailers like Amazon under a new Obama administration initiative that aims to facilitate the shopping experience for rural and urban residents. To eliminate the welfare stigma, the Obama administration renamed the Food Stamps Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and he's making people feel more comfortable about being on food stamps. Now, if unemployment is so low, why are there still so many people on food stamps? It doesn't make sense, because back during 2007, 2008, the unemployment was what, 4.2%? Then moved up to 4.6%. We're at the same place. So something is very wrong. It doesn't make sense. But this is about trying to cover up how many people are on food stamps by renaming it, by allowing them to shop online, because they know that these numbers, the unemployment, the GDP, retail sales, the numbers the government is putting out there, they're completely fake, phony, and false. And what is happening right now is they're trying to make people feel comfortable in receiving welfare. And with all of these programs that the government's been talking about for decades, we never go to the heart of the problem. If you notice, they keep talking about welfare, food stamps, health insurance, the problems in the economy. And if you realize what's happening here, none of these government officials ever, ever, ever go to the root of the problem. And what is the problem? It is the central bank. The central bank has been creating this currency out of thin air and charging the people of the United States interest on this money, which we have to pay back, which devalues the dollar as more and more of this currency is printed. And the central bank, which is a private corporation, has nothing to do with the federal government. They're in it for their own profits. They issue debt, and they want profit. They issue debt to countries, and they want their hard assets. They don't care about the people. They could care less about if the economy is growing, if it's doing well. Their agenda is to keep the economy working slightly, just enough so people really don't complain. And what's been happening to this point is that it's been getting worse and worse, and people are complaining right now. And there's all different types of problems with food stamps. What we need to do is we need to go to the heart of the problem. Why do we have almost double the amount of people on food stamps? Why is the dollar devalued? Why are we at war? Why does the government keep the central bank? Why can't they be audited? Why can't we audit the gold reserves? All of this is the root of the problem. But nobody wants to look at this. All they're doing is looking at the side effects of the problem and trying to help the side effects. It's almost like a disease. Yes, you can give cold medicine. Yes, you can, you know, cover up if you're cold. But unless you go to the root of the problem, what's causing the disease, well, all you're doing is masking all the symptoms. And that's what they've been doing for years and years and years.
And this is, to some degree, right. I've been saying these things since the show started. Nobody wants to go to the heart of the matter because this is an uncomfortable truth for most, because you've been blinded by madness. You are still in the Eurocentric mind. You still love this madness. You're still into the sport and play of this life. You want to strive for righteousness, but you still want to have one foot in the grave. This is true. You're vying for attention. You're vying for positions. You're vying for the admiration and the adoration of the people. When you should be trying to be upright in the best manner that you can. Because what is affecting the black man is the touch or the bite of Satan. This snake has bitten us in such a way that the venom has corrupted our thinking, and it has paralyzed our natural brain function towards righteousness. And so we need the proper medicine to destroy the poison of Satan's bite. The proper medicine is to go to the root of the matter and to give you this bitter pill. You might not like to swallow it, but once it gets down in you, it starts working to rejuvenate the life and the love and the energy of the original mind and the original nature of you. So what we're talking about is not only the crash and burn economics. We're talking about all of the side effects of this crash and burn economics that America has put on nations, that Europe has put on nations. As I said on one show, they have one of the most ingenious Ponzi schemes in the world. And no one had ever taken time to just look at it. If all of the resources, if all of the mineral riches are in Africa, Asia, in South America, in Central America, why don't these nations swap their resources, for other minerals outside of worthless paper that is printed in Brussels, London, and Washington? The white man takes his paper, puts his face on it, and gives a value of that money or that paper and tell you, I'll give you 1,000 of these for one of those. This is what we see that this is worth. Now, he has no resources, right? Europe has little to no resources at all. He'll tell you what your resources are worth. He'll make the market, he'll make the money, then he'll do an exchange for your resources. And whenever you buck up against his policies, he sanctions you, and it makes your money that he gave you with his face on it, that he printed, worthless. And so he has the wealth of what you gave him, and he has the underlying resource itself, and you have nothing but stacks of paper with his face printed on it, if you receive that at all. It's an ingenious Ponzi scheme. This man is a deceiver beyond your imagination. That's why the book calls him the arch deceiver. As a deceiver, he has no equal. But God is feeding him his deception like sweet wine. And all of these things are coming back to him full circle. And that's why you see the derivative market is about to implode. We've heard the retail market is imploding. We've heard about the real estate market is imploding. They're talking about the auto market is about to implode. Everything that he puts his hands on is proven to be a failure. Everything that he touches is collapsing. Everything that has granted him wealth and freedom of action and policy is imploding. And he's desperate and dense. You have all of these people, make America great again. Hell, America wasn't great from the start. How the hell can you say a nation is great and it uses other people's mind power, other people's brain power, other people's labor, free of cost, and forces these people in subjection or subjugation to their will to build for them and make them an industrial powerhouse with free labor, lives, and sacrifice, and give those people whom they have exploited nothing but hell. How the hell can America be great when the founding fathers themselves were murderers, sociopaths, child molesters, rapists? How the hell can America be great? Huh? She was great in an aspect that she was the greatest bloodshedder, the greatest murderer, the greatest exploiter, the greatest with greed, envy, animosity, the greatest war maker. So if you want to say make America great, then tell it like it is. She's the greatest racist on the face of the planet Earth. And that's the only great that she has. Anything other than that is uncivilized, as the Tom Charles Barkley used to say on that deodorant commercial. Let me tell you, America's in trouble. She won't completely tell you this, but her economy is near total meltdown mode. And the devil keeps going back to 1914. This is amazing to me. The devil keeps going back to 1914. He keeps going back to 1971. He keeps going back, but listen, these same devils that are saying this to their brethren, they had no problem with this as long as they were prospering from the system. You know what made Dave start his radio show? He lost his job. If he didn't lose his job, he wouldn't have started his radio show. Because you lost your job, you became a patriot, as you say. That's because you lost out in the system. If the system had kept you going, you would have not have a second thought about how corrupt and wicked and evil and parasitic the system is. The central bankers are doing it's the whole system, not just the central bankers. It is what they try to put on. Well, the central bankers are doing this and the central bankers are doing that. Well, black man and black woman, that's part of the problem. But the thing is, all of you have benefited from it. You did not say nothing when you were one of the direct beneficiaries of the central bankers' policies against black, brown, red, and yellow people. But now that it comes back to bite you in the butt, we need to change the system. Oh, the system is going to change. As a matter of fact, the change is underway. The change is being felt on an hourly and daily basis. This is because the old is being pushed out and the new is coming in. This cannot be stopped by no central bankers. This cannot be stopped by America, by NATO, and by a combination of all of the nations on the planet Earth, because this is the will of God as pronounced through the mouths of his prophets. This is the time that we're living in the fall of America and the collapse of Anglo or European or white power universally. There's a change going on, black man, black woman. I want you to listen to this. The entire U.S. economy is in meltdown mode. It's 1 minute 56.
Well, all you're doing is masking all the symptoms, and that's what they've been doing for years and years and years. Now, the question is the economy really back on track? Are we in this incredible recovery? Is retail and unemployment doing what they say? Well, we can find out by rail intermodal traffic. This is long-haul movement of shipping containers and truck trailers by rail. And when we look at this, what do we see? Well, we see that the shipments of all these different types of goods, like laptops, chickens, anything else you can think of, it shows us how these products are being moved around the country, which shows us, are people purchasing it? Are stores stocking up on it? And for the first time since 2009, yearly values are down versus the prior year. In a percentage terms, the 2015-2016 decline is almost the same as the 2007-2008 decline when the financial crisis was raging, which tells us we are back where we started. Nothing has improved. Actually, it is getting worse, because here we are in this incredible recovery, and rail traffic, truck traffic is declining. This is an incredible indicator to show us how the economy is really doing. Because if people were purchasing and stores were stocking up and things were great, truck traffic and rail traffic would be incredible. But we're not seeing it whatsoever. Which shows us that this economy is completely melting down. It is a complete lie. It's an illusion right now.
We're doing this again. I'm going to try this again. Black man and black woman, as you can see, we're having problems with the microphones. They keep muting my microphone. Even while I'm talking to you, and I turn to look at the screen, I come back, the microphone is muted again. This is madness by Blog Talk Radio. Let's go to the phone lines again. Let's try to get our good brother Rashid on the line. Brother Rashid, I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, brother. I can hear you for a change.
That's good, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Getting back to what you were talking about, when you played that last clip about the devil, talking about the rail and truck traffic is going down.
Yes, sir.
As most of the audience know that I work in that industry. And I was talking to, I load trains on the waterfront out here in Los Angeles. And I was asking, normally they say about 2 years ago, the rail traffic, we were working 365 days a year. Now they didn't start cutting it back. It started with maybe, as they call it, going dark, maybe one day a month, one day every 2 months. Then it started to be 2 days a month, 3 days a month. Now they down to they don't do a rail traffic going East Coast 2 days a week. And I was asking the one of the superintendents, why is the work slowing down? He said, well, it used to be that they was getting $700 a container to bring a container from the East Coast to the West Coast. Now it's down to $70 a container. You see how much that money done dropped? And a lot of times they don't have anything going. The guy told me, we don't have the rail traffic to go back to the East Coast. So what that devil was saying is actually true, because I'm living it. I see what the rail traffic that's going back to the East Coast, and they don't have what they normally did have. Same thing for the containers and stuff that's coming in from China, because that's where all of the stuff is made, China and Korea. Now, it is slowing up. So the Lord of the world is, like we say, brother, he's on time and he's doing exactly what he said he's going to do. We got to understand, as we Muslims understand it, the devil cuts him back. Allah cuts the devil back little degrees from which he perceives not. It's like a man with cancer. You know, he's running around, he's doing good, and all of a sudden he have one pain in the side, and that's all right. And they go down, he forgets about it. And he goes down to about maybe 4 or 5 or a year later, and they open him up, and he's been eating up in the inside. And that's what Allah is doing to the devil. He is cutting him back. And if you can't see it, brother, you are blind. Let me put it this way. Allah have not blessed you with the understanding to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So they doing a good Allah. He doing a good job on him, brother. He doing a good job on him. And
all
just deal with the East Coast and stuff, brother. We just gotta see it. All right, black man.
Thank you, my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know. Again, let me say this before we continue on. If you don't hear me for a few seconds, then that means they've muted my mic again, okay? So I'm just warning you who are listening to the show, and just hold on until we end the show, okay? But I do want to say this to you. This is what the messenger said. He says, Allah breaks the trade internationally. This is to break the power of the white man. Then he breaks America's commerce within her own borders. Is that not what they tell you about the international shipping? It has collapsed, right? And now what are we seeing? We're seeing America's shipping within her own borders collapse, right? Did Muhammad have it right or what? And it is happening and it is falling in line just like he said it. But you cannot see, you cannot hear, and you cannot perceive because you are still waxed old in the white man's world. And this is why I continue to tell all of you that it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because that is our Rosetta Stone for prophecy, for geopolitics, for economics. Because we can see, we follow the blueprint, and we can see from one motion to the next motion, and we know what to expect next. Because we are diligently studying the Word of God. We're diligently studying the man of God. We're diligently studying the truth of God in man form. It's the last messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want you to listen close to this also. I was just talking to you about the situation globally. I was just talking to you about the inflation that has been spread. And look, the man goes back in this clip. This is a short clip. It's about 2 minutes. But in this clip, he goes back and he talks about how inflation has started to spread around the globe. And when it comes back, because it's going to come back to the U.S., it will cause hyperinflation. It's already doing that right now. Do you notice how you go into the store and you get less, but you pay for more? Do you know how when you used to get 16 ounces of something, it's now 10 ounces or 12 ounces or 8 ounces, and you're still paying a dollar or some more for that? Do you see all of these things that are taking place? This is the introduction of hyperinflation by degree. You're forced to cut back on certain things. Your dollar doesn't take you as far as it used to take you. This is the decline in the value of the money and the rise of inflation in the markets. And so this man, as he talks, he says this. And in the same breath, he says, it started in 1971. Well, what was so dynamic about the year 1971? The world went off the gold and silver standard. Remember Elijah Muhammad? When the world went off the gold and silver standard, the doom, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. Didn't he say that? That's page 87 of The Fall of America, Decline of the Dollar. So he goes, but Muhammad even goes further in another writing. He says that this stuff started really taking place. He said 1965 and 66 will prove to be fateful years in the fall of America. And we went into that and we said that's when they started robbing the silver content of the coins so that they could try to hide or mask the situation that was at hand, the speeding up of the fall of the dollar, the speeding up of the fall of America. So they robbed the silver out of there to try to maintain some type of silver equilibrium. And when that wasn't enough, they had to take the world, when it sped up, for her wars of aggression in Vietnam and around the world, and her suppressing and oppressing black liberation. She had to take the world off the gold and silver standard. And then the financial genie was let out the bottle, and they couldn't put it back in because of greed, because of hubris, because of arrogance, because we can print up dollars infinitum, and we can do this and we can do that. We can fund this and we can overthrow that and we can sanction that because we have the world's reserve currency. The arrogance of empire is her own doing, undoing. And now they're getting to look at it and they're seeing it, but Elijah Muhammad had called it over 40-some years ago, said this would take place exactly like it's taking place. I want you to look closely and listen closely to this 1 minute and 58 seconds.
But the globalists, the central bankers, they don't want this. They don't care about that. We see inflation is hitting many different countries. We see it's hitting Venezuela. We see it's hitting Turkey now, where they're saying that things are going really bad. They're going to see double-digit inflation. We see in Mexico, the price of tortillas, a staple in Mexico, well, the price is rising right now. And what they're seeing right now is inflation. Tortillas, they have soared by 90% in Mexico. And what we're seeing is inflation is now starting to hit all these different countries. And all of this inflation, which we've been shipping out of the U.S., is all going to flood back to the United States, and we're going to see hyperinflation. Because as more and more countries decide, you know something, I'm not going to be using the reserve dollar anymore. I don't want to purchase oil using the dollar, they're going to use other currencies. No matter if it's paper form, electronic form, mostly it's electronic form when they're doing this, they're going to say, you know something, we don't need to keep these dollars in reserve, so we're going to purchase gold instead, we're going to sell our treasuries, And all of this is going to flood back to the United States, and we're going to see hyperinflation here. Because as this system comes down, we're at the end stage here. 1971 was the beginning stage of the petrodollar. Here we are in 2017. This is the end stage of the petrodollar. This is why we see so much debt. This is why we see so many things falling apart. This is why we're going to see hyperinflation. This is why they need to keep the interest rates so low. This is why we see salaries dropping. Look at the millennials. They're earning less than the baby boomers 25 years ago. This is the end stage. The system is crashing right now. It's coming down, and you need to get prepared for what is coming.
So, we're not going to play another clip. We're going to have part two of this show. And we're going to revisit this clip here when we come back Thursday for the next show. But I want to say something to you all. We're now in the 62nd year or the 62nd week, according to Scripture. And this is the time when God, as Brother Rashid, Brother Gerald, and myself, we were talking. This is when God said he would intervene. He could intervene into the affairs of the white man's world. And notice that all of these white people are saying that it's starting to come down. It's starting to collapse. And what he said, we're at the end stage of the dollar. This thing is crashing. It's burning. It's going down. Why? Why now? When Elijah Muhammad called it. Huh? I mean, called it to the T, mathematically called it. Why are they saying things that are bearing witness to Elijah Muhammad? If this man had no meeting with God, if this man was not met, was taught by God, if this man had nothing relevant about himself, then why are the scientists, the economic scholars, the pundits, the prognosticators of this world now bearing witness to him and everything that he's talking about, everything that he said, whether it be in space or whether it be under the earth or whether it be on the moon or whether it be in economics? Why are they all being forced to acknowledge the science behind what he's saying? See, you know whether a man carries any weight because if something that he says goes through, you say, okay, that's something about that guy. He knows. But what if everything that the man says happens? Then that lets you know that this man not only weighs with the weight of his word, but he weighs with the weight of God. Huh? Because every word we can go and we can show and we can prove. These are actual facts, what that white man say. The fall of the dollar started in 1971, and we're in full circle, and we're at the end of this stage, right? 60 to not exceed 70 years extension. And you have one economic scholar, he's saying that 2017 will mark the complete meltdown of the dollar in the economy, but it will be a long, drawn-out process going over to 2020 or 2021. Well, you can't argue with them on these things because the messenger did say 60 to not exceed 70 years, so it could happen at any time in between that. But we know that this drawn-out process will not be 10 years, will not be 20 years, will not be 30 years, will not be 40 years. This is the end of Adam, and Adam is being executed on the order of Almighty God Allah. And this is your liberation. This is your freedom. This is your enrichment. This is your enlightenment, because this is your time to stand up, black man and black woman, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, and then the billions around the world. Know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life, but the love that I have for you pales in comparison to that God who left heaven to come for your redemption, who came in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, and that living sacrifice without spot or blemish, that last messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam. Until we speak again, brothers and sisters, stay strong, stay true, but above all, stay righteous. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad. produced by Nicole Muhammad and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the mood I'm in. Day to day, the roles we play. Walking around with bows on our face.
Why trust the parts pros at Advance Auto? Because if there's one thing they know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries, this is Nestor. How can I help you?
Lately, when I go to accelerate, my car doesn't have the oomph it used to.
Well, you could try using a fuel system cleaner. That might help.
Is that part of a tune-up?
People like to use it when they do a tune-up.
And what all does a tune-up involve?
Spark plugs, air filter, fuel filter.
Wow, you really know everything. I'm going on a second date tonight. Would you go flowers or chocolates?
Mm-hmm.
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts.